Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Monday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. It's a May 12th edition, post Mother's Day weekend. Hope everybody had a great weekend here. And the schedule release is set for Wednesday this week. And week one has already been leaked. The Philadelphia Eagles will host the Dallas Cowboys and drop the banner in front of Jerry Jones and the NFC East division rival. We are joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff, thanks for getting with us this morning, brother. We appreciate you. I know you had some internet technical difficulties. Good to have you on here on a Monday edition of Birds 365. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, it turned out there was more than internet technical difficulties. It was the double shebang, the internet and the computer.
Oh, boy.
Never want to hear that, Jeff.
No.
You're back up and running. So good for you, by the way, getting that done, getting that situated. Week one, Eagles, Cowboys, I think it was 13 years, Jeff, 13 straight years or something like that. It was over a decade that the Eagles and Cowboys played at least one game in prime time. And last year it didn't work out. The one game was at 425.
It was the CBS 425, which is, by the way, the highest rated game on our network last year.
Yeah. Which you guys, I assume, fought for that at CBS.
We did. So that was one of the things I was told before I actually got the schedule, that we were getting that game and I had to swear to secrecy. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's really cool. But yeah, it was a big deal. Like, I remember I went to CBS Upfronts for the NFL in August, and I was talking to Jim Nance and Tony Romo, and, you know, Jim practically said it was, yeah, this, look, you're going to get Eagles Cowboys again. We want you guys to call this game. And I assume because NBC did not have this game last year, they were going to get it this year. I didn't think it was going to be.
So that's the bet. That's what I was going to say. That's the back and forth. You guys got it last year. NBC gets it this year. Probably Fox will get it next year, to be honest.
You know what? Fox is probably pissed because they had Eagles Cowboys for 425 last year. Remember, it got flexed to one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by that point, though, the Cowboys were a mess by that point. So I don't think, you know, later in the season, but early week one, this is a home run business wise for the NFL. You can't put on a bigger game from a TV perspective, I think. You have two of the highest profile teams, the highest profile team against the Super Bowl champions. Ratings are going to be through the roof for this game.
You know, Ricky Ricardo and I were talking about this on WIP last night. And, you know, we were just going through who the opponent could be. And Ricky brought it up because, you know, we're trying to think the business sense of it. Now, both of us picked the Bears. But we were both like, it could be the Cowboys just because of everything you said, John. It's a ratings bonanza. I mean, I bet you 40 million people watch that kickoff game.
Yeah. It will be, I've already predicted, it will be the highest rated game all season until late in the season when two really good teams match up. If it unfolds that way, that'll pass it. But early, it'll be for a long time, like first 10, 12 weeks of the season. It'll be the highest rated game all season. Yeah, my prediction.
I was charged with the task of predicting the Eagles 6 primetime game. I don't know the schedule yet, but since you can have a max of 6.
Oh, you cringe me, by the way, already.
Yeah. Primetime games. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, Dallas is definitely going to be one. That was like my first one, the slam dunk. I said, who knows what it'll be? I said, I bet you it's Sunday Night Football, at least Sunday Night Football. And it was. By the way, John, you're going to cringe at this prediction. I think the Eagles are playing on Christmas this year.
It's fine. I don't love it, but you know, now we have Netflix Christmas games. Are they on Netflix again, or are they switching to YouTube?
There's two on Netflix and there's one on Amazon because Christmas is on Thursday, and they're gonna have three Christmas games every year now.
Yeah. So it's part of it. That's fine. I used to cover the NBA. They stole Christmas from the NBA.
they completely stole it.
They just walked right in. It was, you know, I don't want to use a war reference, but they just walked right in and said, yeah, you know what?
They do what they want. They're like stormtroopers. They do what they want. So, but I will say this. I don't think the Eagles will have six primetime games to start. They will probably only have five because they want to have that flex one later, I would think.
The Bills got 7 2 years ago because they started with six and then they got one flex late in the year.
I could see the Eagles getting seven.
Flex, you can flex even if you're at the maximum six.
Yes. So, the Bills had the maximum six.
You couldn't flex. So, already I've been corrected. Then they will have six to start. As long as you can go over that number, then it's fine. But I would think they would hold one back if you weren't able to go over that number, which is difficult for teams, and nobody likes it. But that's the way the NFL is going. At some point, we're going to have Tuesday football. Christmas is going to be on Tuesday at some point. They're going to at some point, unfortunately, we're going to be having football every day of the week. We're close to it.
I thought the COVID season was proof that we're going to have it every day.
Which I don't like, by the way. But
no, me neither. I think that's one of the rules of the NFL. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I feel like, you know, a sycophant saying this, but growing up, I loved how it was just Sunday and Monday with the occasional Thursday game.
I loved it. I hate Thursday. I still hate Thursday.
Yeah. Now that we get Thursday every week, I can't stand it.
Yeah. You stole that from the Mac.
Yeah. Now don't take Tuesday and Wednesday from the Mac. Now, I don't even know who's in the Mac anymore.
Yeah, either do I. I remember always that big Miami of Ohio versus Toledo matchup on Thursday night. That was always
You know where I actually kind of make fun of my job in the NFL. So last year, the college football playoff was on Saturday. Remember they had the triple header of games and I was at the Penn State game. I get asked by one of my editors, oh, did you see that great Steelers Ravens game? I'm like, no, I'm celebrating Tony Rojas scored a touchdown. I forgot the NFL even played that day.
That's rare. Rare. They should. You know, if you think about college football as a whole, it's essentially a free feeder system for the NFL. You should tip your cap to them and say, all right, we'll stay away from that. But they don't care. No, what is anybody going to do? They don't care.
Exactly. You know what? I give college football a ton of credit, too, with how they try to manipulate their schedule to make sure they're not going against the NFL. And they asked about the 21st. That was that Saturday because they had the triple header of games and they did pretty well. And the NFL rings did it. And they said, well, we're playing meaningful games and they're not. And look, we had that date first. If they want to come in, that's fine. But we're still going to play. We're not. That was set in stone. So that was like the only time they didn't back off to the NFL.
Good for them. I like it. Good for them. Cowboys on the field, Jeff Kerr. What do you like them? You like what they've done? I think they've gotten better, obviously.
Oh, I do too.
Quarterback back, but how significant can this team be? Are they? I kind of look at them like they'll be on the cusp of that last wild card spot. Do you think they have a bigger upside than that, or a lesser upside?
I think they should be a playoff team. I don't.
Oh, but, all right.
Yeah, but I also agree with you. I think there's about five or six teams better than that. My issue is, and I've criticized George Pickens long before he's ever donned a Cowboy uniform, for all the talent they say this guy has, why don't you show it every once in a while? Not with like one of your one-handed catches like Odell Beckham. Why don't you actually go out there and play like everybody says you are, a top five receiver in the NFL?
Well, who says that? Who's saying he's a top five? I don't hear that.
You'll hear that from the Steelers beat, who I listen to. But you just hear this from, again, my national media conglomerate. Oh, this guy's this. This guy's this. This guy's this. Really, all I see is 80 catches for 1,100 yards. And they go, well, this guy's his quarterback. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I just don't want to hear it.
Well, I think he's talented. But, yeah. I mean, I think he's more of a, you know, he's more of a deep threat. He's not a well-rounded receiver.
He's a prima donna is what he is.
Well, you got the personality as well. But I don't think anybody's looked at him and said, this guy's a top receiver in the NFL. He's not, Jamar Chase or, you know, AJ Brown.
Well, they like to put him in that category, or he has the potential. I'm like, well, a lot of these guys have the potential.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be that. CeeDee Lamb is that. CeeDee Lamb's a top five receiver in the NFL.
Exactly. That's a top five receiver.
Right. Eagles don't have two AJ Browns. They got AJ and Devontae. I think it's a similar comp. I think the Eagles have a slight edge because I think AJ's a little better than CeeDee, and I think Devontae's a little bit better than George Pickens. But I think it's a good.
I think AJ's a little bit better than CeeDee, but I think Devontae's significantly better than George Pickens.
Okay, that's fair.
And I thought that was, again, a smart move by the Cowboys. You get two receivers to set your 32-year-old quarterback up. Look, Dak Prescott, no matter what we say about him, he just did not have anything on that offense last year outside of CeeDee Lamb. And then he got hurt.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about their running game.
They changed that running back room up tremendously.
Well, they did, but I mean, it's Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, and Jaden Blue. A lot of Eagles fans like, because the Eagles looked at him and he can run. But I mean, come on. That's still a bad running back room. Is it better than last year's? I don't even know.
I don't know. Ricky O'Donnell was pretty good for
that. He was pretty good. He wasn't terrible. Who was the other kid they had? Why can't I think of his name? I'm gonna have to look it up. But
I think they were better. Stat of the year when it came to the Cowboys, right?
I believe
I told you this during the game, during the NFC Championship game.
Well, I don't remember it. They asked me, Jeff. I had no freaking idea.
Okay, so I remember this. I knew it was going to blow up, but I didn't think it would blow up as much as it did. The Eagles had more rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game, 7, than the Cowboys had the entire season, 6.
Yeah, well, yeah, they had a bad year from that perspective. Yeah. And the Eagles obviously had an historic.
I went after one of those ultra Cowboys fans when they said, oh, you can't keep us out of your thoughts. I said, no, that's a stat, and you guys are bad.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Well, it was Rico Dowd. It was Hunter Lepke. It was Deuce Vaughn. Deuce Vaughn. And I think last year's might be better on that. Now, not from name value, because people know Javonte Williams, because he was and I thought he was going to be a good player, but it didn't work out. Miles, obviously, it's been a disaster since he left Philadelphia, and you're talking about a day 3 pick. But so this is what Xander, and I honestly could not remember. Now, Jeff's more of an Eagles fan than me, so he'll remember, I assume. But Xander asked me, what was the banner unveiling like in the 2018 season? I don't even remember.
I don't remember
a thing. I had to look up who they played.
Johnny Mack was blacked out during that thing. He had no clue. He looked at me like I had 12 heads. He's like, what are you talking about?
What the hell?
Did they serve liquor in the press box that night or something?
No, you know what it is? Oh, man. It's very, I can tell you exactly what happened. I was pissed off that I had to wait extra time to get to the game because I'm focused on the game.
I hate Thursday night games. You're going to them with a passion.
Well, yeah.
I can't remember if it was the Vikings they played on Thursday night. It was a year or two ago. I left at 1 and didn't get there till 4:45. And I was livid. And John will tell you, and Kratz will tell you, Martin Frank will tell you. I was just, I'm like, no matter what happens, I'm going to be mad. And I remember I came on with you guys that Friday for when we did the Birds 365 show. And I got stuck in traffic on the way home because some moron got into an accident.
Oh yeah, I remember.
So that. I was really living
that. That's brutal. A bad situation.
I don't know how much. By the way, I don't even know. I know it's a joke amongst media members because we got to work the games and everything. So when there's a night game, we're working until 2, 3, 4 in the morning. But I don't think any fans over 30 really like primetime games. I mean, does anybody really want to watch their football team at 11:45 at night?
No.
I mean,
well, now we have an extra hurdle because they lock us in the stadium. We leave too late, so now we have an extra hurdle.
I've never heard of that. I don't get locked in the Phillies press box.
No, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Hey, what do they do if you're not out of there by a certain hour? They lock us in.
They lock us in.
We got to buy John an air mattress in case he gets locked in at the lake.
You got to walk all the way around. You got to walk out the loading dock, which is always open. But then you got to walk around the link and back, and they shut all the parking lot gates too, so you got to walk all the way to the Broad Street entrance, which is always open, of the Wells Fargo Center. Now, one day Rob Motti saved us all. The great, yes. Rob Motti from
that was a preseason game. He did that,
yeah, and he drove us from the loading dock all the way around. So, yeah, come on, Eagles, fix that. I don't have that. I've never gotten locked in. I've heard stories. Somebody got locked into, I think it was Jack McCaffrey. The great Jack McCaffrey got locked into Dallas one day. That's the only other person I've heard get locked in. Now everybody gets locked in Philadelphia. And they don't tell you they shifted the way out one year. Didn't tell anybody. Just osmosis. I'm like, don't go there. You're going to get locked in. Absurd.
Yeah, it's crazy. The night of the snow game, I had so much to do. I thought I was going to get locked in there. And that was one of the nights they kept everything open when they played the Rams. I'm like, oh, wow. And
too busy celebrating. Now I remember that because a lot of people were on the field making snow angels and that kind of stuff.
I wanted to get home.
Yeah. Well,
guys, I think there's only one team we could play in week one. For the banner drop, mind you, all right, for the Super Bowl champions, where the TV might pan to the opposing owner more than they pan to the Eagles. How many times will the TV pan to Jerry Jones as the Eagles banner is dropping and reminding
you? Xander, twice in my lifetime, I've gotten to use this joke, and I'm going to save it for September 4th, but all of you on Birds 365 will get to hear it now. This is the closest Dak Prescott's ever going to get to a banner.
Oh, man. Well, he is 32. I'll say this. Now, I know there are quarterbacks who you know, play their prime football well past 32, but there's also a lot of quarterbacks who don't play their prime football at 32. I'm wondering what Dak has left in the tank. I mean, I think of Carson Wentz. His prime was what, 27?
Well, I'll tell you this. Well, yeah, but that was...
Yeah, it was a different scenario. But, you know, Dak's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I think he's
going the Donovan route, but without the pedigree.
Yeah, I think Donovan is the better cop. But he didn't. I'll tell you this: before he got hurt last year, he was not playing well. So
yeah, he was really struggling. Like, you could tell that team was going to lose their head. I mean, look, I don't know why they kept Mike McCarthy another year. I never understood that logic after the 2023 playoff disaster where they just blew everybody out home, and then they get blown out at home themselves by an inferior opponent, and then they decide to run it back and they do the all-in stuff. I'm like, what are they doing over there? Like, you guys aren't that good.
No, they weren't let. They did have a lot of injuries by the end. I mean that factors into it, but I think it should be noted that he only played 8 games last year, but he was not playing well in those 8 games. A big dip from his previous season, which he was really freaking good. I think people forget how good he was in 2023. basically completed 70% of his passes.
He was the runner-up to the MVP award, wasn't he?
I forget the exact. Now, he's certainly in the top. He was a finalist. I remember that. I don't remember how it worked out. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he was too. Had 36 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He had a great year in 2023. Typical Dallas year, won 12 games. They falter in the playoffs, which is what they typically do. But, and then last year, he was down. Everything was down. You know, think about that touchdown to interception ratio, 36-9. It was 11-8 in 8 games last year. He was not playing well. Under 65%.
I mean, this is how bad the Cowboys actually were. And
shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Again, no disrespect to Kenny Pickett, but they let Kenny Pickett just torch them.
Well, that's true. But by that point, their season was over. Like, I don't even, like, what was that, week?
That was week 17.
Week 17, yeah. I mean, they were on fumes at that point.
You know,
they were
it's so funny, too. Like, I don't know why it's them. Probably because I grew up with, and my family has no Cowboys fans, but I grew up with a bunch of quote-unquote Cowboys fans who, by the way, they never show their faces anymore as Cowboys fans because they suck now. But you just had to hear it all the time how wonderful that franchise was and how Flozell Adams was this great player. Or you know, yeah. Eric Williams was a great player. I'm not going to – I used to tell people this. Everybody thinks I hate the Cowboys. I'm like, you know, one of my favorite players growing up, because I root for a lot of players, was Emmitt Smith. I just didn't like the team he played for.
Yeah, I mean, they were truly great during the Staubach Landry era, and they were truly great during the Jimmy Johnson run. You know, they were so great. That team was so great that they won with Barry Switzer as a head coach. Anybody could have won with that team. But they haven't been that since that group, the Aikman, Smith, Irvin group. And that's been a long time, but they're still the Cowboys for some reason.
Well, this is where I'll really go on it with the tush push people when they call Jalen Hurts a tush push merchant. It's usually Cowboys fans. Time out. Hold on. It's very easy to look this up. Most 1 yard touchdown runs in NFL history. Emmitt Smith is second.
What's wrong with a 1 yard touchdown?
Yeah, that's what I said. What's wrong with 1 yard? Oh, no, the running backs are doing. I'm like, says who?
Yeah.
The goal
is to get in the end zone.
Well, you know what? I always big time. I said, you know nothing about football if you think like that.
Yeah. You know me and stats people, but you know, I'm torn on, you know, I say it all the time and I want to go down this route this early, but quarterback evaluation is broken. Jalen Hurts is really good, really good player. Is he top five? No, if we're being honest, but whatever, you get all this. Yeah, you know, because everybody's focused on, like, I say it all the time. I can tell people, and I've used this numerous times, I could say, hey, you know what? Myles Garrett's better than Josh Sweat. And everybody goes, yeah, duh, stupid. Why'd you say? Well, only one of them was in the Super Bowl looking like Superman. But nobody cares about any other position. You could do the same thing with Milton Williams, and who's a very good player, and you know, the best defensive tackles. Chris Jones on the other side. I could say Chris Jones is better than Milton Williams. Nobody's batting an eyelash. Dummy.
For the Super Bowl, we did a pound for pound, like basically we rank all 106 players for CBS on both teams' 53-man rosters. I think the Eagles took, I want to say it was 60 of the first 85. And, like, I just remember Pete Briscoe just sending me a text at this because the Eagles are going to kill this team.
Yeah, they were – the Chiefs – the Chiefs were, it's kind of amazing. And you know, I look at it different than most people. That was one of Andy's best coaching jobs ever. And people say, we got killed in the Super Bowl. How did he get to the Super Bowl? How did he win all those games? They're very top heavy, the Chiefs.
By the way, my favorite Andy, again, I can't stand people who can't stand Andy Reid. It's just in my nature. Oh, Andy Reid choked in another Super Bowl. I'm like, he's got three of them. What are we doing here? It's like when LeBron does it within the finals. He's got four of them.
Yeah.
He's been in 10.
Don't even start. Yeah.
Oh my God. I've been saying that
for years.
People like, look, I like to trash LeBron as much as I can, but it's more of his stupid stuff he says more than his game. He's a hell of a basketball player.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody, you know, even the tremendous success the Eagles have, I say it all the time. And you know, the 4 years, the record, the Sirianni record, the Hurts record, they won once. I mean, you only win your last game. You lose your last game far more than you win your last game. Michael Jordan did. You got to go back to Bill Russell and Yogi Berra in a different era where there was one good team, one super team. Now, you're going to lose, doesn't matter who you are, from Tom Brady on down. You're going to lose your last game more than you win your last game. So get used to it, everybody.
Yeah, I actually get upset when people think the Eagles are just going to win the Super Bowl. I said, well, that'd be nice, but it's a lot harder. There's a reason why the Chiefs have been the only team to repeat in the last 20 years. It's hard. Everybody's like, Chiefs fatigue. I'm like, the ratings aren't saying that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, Travis Kelce.
Doesn't feel Taylor like Swift. Again, no knowledge of the schedule yet, John, as of right now. But doesn't it feel like Eagles Chiefs is bound for CBS?
Yeah, and I would think that's one of the primetime games as well. You got to get the whole Kelce brigade out.
Well, they got the Bills now. This year, too. That
Bills is a big game, yeah.
Commanders, they get twice. The Lions are on this schedule.
Yeah, I mean, their schedule's like, on paper, it looks like a murderer's row.
They're going to set an NFL record for most playoff teams played from the previous year on a schedule.
Now, some of those
breaking their own records.
Some of those teams aren't going to be as good as they were last year, so it won't end up as bad as it looks. But right now, you know, if you look at the three games, and we're talking about three games, I mentioned this consistently because everybody plays the same, you know, they play each other, division opponents. The NFC East is playing the NFC North in conference, which, by the way, was the best division last year. And they're playing the AFC West as the interconference opponent. So everybody's got to play the same four. But then you have the three games. You have the two conference opponents and the interconference opponent. And for the Eagles, that's the LA Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and if there's one team that's had the Eagles' number, it's Tampa Bay. And the interconference opponent is Buffalo on the road. Those three games compared to Washington and Dallas and the Giants, who are, doesn't matter because they're not good enough, but that's a big difference. That is a big difference. Now, maybe Matthew Stafford's hurt. Maybe Baker Mayfield's hurt. Maybe Josh Allen's hurt, depending on maybe key guys are hurt. That's a possibility. But on paper, and then you talk about Detroit, as you mentioned, Green Bay again, Minnesota again, Kansas City, Chargers are getting better, Broncos are getting better.
Raiders are even getting better.
Yeah. So on paper, it's a very difficult schedule.
It'll be a fun schedule, though. Again, if you like the primetime games, John and I aren't crazy about them. But I do.
I'm telling you, I don't think the fans are either. I think there are some fans who love them. But
I agree with you.
People who have work in the morning and stuff. Like
people who have kids, they don't want to get the crap.
People, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to stay up for these games.
But it obviously, from a macro, it works because they get the biggest ratings, obviously. So I get why they do it. I'm just saying, I don't know if they're as loved as people think.
Oh, by the way, if the Eagles play on Christmas, like I think they're going to, that means they're probably going to be playing on Saturday because there's going to be a Saturday slate before that. So
When is Christmas this year?
Christmas is a Thursday, but when I was told there's going to be a Saturday slate in Week 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah. The Saturday games, I don't like them either. Feels collegey to me.
Yeah,
it's very collegey. I remember I was a kid, the Eagles played the 49ers on a Saturday. It was Garcia versus McNabb. The Eagles played like garbage. Like, literally, I think they got in the end zone like five times and they didn't score. Or the red zone, sorry. And I was just like, this is so stupid. Well, if they played on Sunday, this wouldn't be a problem.
Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you have to get that.
Are the best, but we're not going to get a lot of that.
Well, you know what? But while I say that, and obviously it can't be that way, but I do think it's more fun. I think one of the things is to check the scoreboard. Like, you're watching a game, commercial, blah, blah, blah. Check the scoreboard. There's other games. There's other stuff going on. You know, when you have a standalone game, and more games are becoming standalone as they go to different days, and it's a shitty game. You got nothing else.
It sucks. It's, you know, as someone who covers the whole league, I like the 1 o'clock games personally because I think my game stories click more because not everybody's watching
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I know that from YouTube. I mean, we get more. The viewership period is longer, obviously. So from a business perspective, I like earlier for that reason.
I mean, Xander, I love you. I don't think I want to watch it at 1 a.m.
No, I know. Now, there are people that do, but I agree with your sentiment that overall there's not going to be as many people tuned in at 1, 2, 3 a.m. with work in the morning. No doubt about it. Jeff, I got up. I want you to
Sunday night baseball last night, and I was just like, I hate Sunday night baseball.
Yeah, no, Phillies were on last night. It was a good game, though. And they won the series in that game, so they're playing pretty good baseball right now. Jeff, I want to run this by and tell me what you think. Last year, the NFC North had three teams going to the playoffs, and it was a pretty damn good division last year. I think the East has a chance to be this year's version of the North with the Cowboys, the Commanders, and the Eagles all heading to the playoffs. Do you think I'm way off base with that? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think so, but I think what's going to happen is the records aren't going to show it because they're going to be canceling each other out because they play each other this year. I thought that's why the North was as good as they were. Like, by the way, they went 0-3 in the playoffs, the North.
Yes, they did. You know,
which was actually kind of funny because I used to write my own reactions columns in December every week, and I got NFC North fans really pissed that, oh, the NFC North's overrated, or the NFC North isn't as good as everybody says it is. Oh, look at the records. I'm like, okay, well, it's almost like the college football bowl theory. Well, show me when it counts when you're playing somebody else. And
well, now, college football bowls, by the way, don't matter at all. Except for the playoffs, back in the day when they were
litmus tests. Now, who cares?
Well, I mean, I do think it's the old adage, and this proved true for the Eagles. Yeah, you know, that it's better to play your best football late. But even because I always point to the Rams, like, I didn't think much of the Rams, and now I think very highly of the Rams. But you know, Detroit had all the injuries. I mean, they were a good team. I don't think anybody doubts that except the small, you know, crazy section of Eagles fans who think they weren't good. They just had too many injuries. Minnesota, the offensive line bit them in the ass. Again, they've tried to fix that this offseason. And Green Bay was a little bit of a disappointment. I would say of those three teams, the one that was a disappointment was Green Bay. But, you know, the Rams started playing their best football late.
Yeah.
And I always said, I didn't believe in the Rams, except for that awful middle linebacker, but I say it all the time. But
he's not there anymore.
Yeah, I know. Christian Roseboom, I think it was.
Yep, it was.
Jared Verse, I'm like, he's a good rookie. What's all the hype about?
We saw it.
And and then I'm like, Lane and Jordan are telling me how good he is, and I'm like, all right.
He's becoming one of my favorite players in the league, by the way. Just the just his demeanor. I like the trash talk out of him. He backs up the trash talk. He embraces it. He got in. He had a fun like little back and forth with Eagles fans. He said, "Look, I love him." He said, "Bring it."
Oh yeah, I like that too. He was like, yeah, he's walking around. You know, it was freezing, obviously, snow game. He's walking around with no shirt.
I think he deleted the tweet, but I think someone like posted a story about how he says he still can't get over the Eagles loss, and an Eagles fan joked which one, and he said the one that counted or something like that. And like everybody just went on the fire. I know what he meant, the divisional round game.
Yeah, who cares? The regular. I mean, you care, but he's talking about the big game. And I get it. Yeah, I get it too. But hey, fans are fans. And they're going to spike the football, and they should spike the football, and they're going to spike the football on the Dallas Cowboys kickoff opener. Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys.
I agree with Xander. They're going to be showing Jerry Jones more than they show the banner raising.
They are going to be showing Jerry a lot. Let's be real.
Maybe I'll remember this one.
You know, it's funny. I haven't ever said this to Romo, but I always wanted to. When he was dating Underwood and Simpson and all that, and when he failed, I always used to yell to the TV, show Carrie Underwood now. I do it with Taylor Swift. Show her now. Show her when her boy is failing.
Well, we, you know, I mean,
they'll never do it, but
yeah,
they'll show Jerry, though. They'll show Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, showing Jerry when his team's failing is like one of the greatest things in sports.
I know. Yeah. In the second half, he's about six gin and tonics in.
So. You know who has a great, like, failing face, like he's really pissed? Magic Johnson. I love when they show him when the Lakers lose or the Commanders now lose. It's like if he's there. I'm like, you can tell, like, he's like, all right, yeah.
I don't know.
The face of, like, that's all right, peasants. I'm up another billion this year. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But with the Carrie Underwood stuff and Jessica Simpson and Taylor Swift, like, I mean, I'm usually at games, so I don't see it as much, but, like, who cares? Why is everybody?
Yeah, it's never bothered me.
It's never bothered.
Way overblown.
Well, you guys heard what bothered the Swifties over the last couple of weeks, right?
No, I don't keep up with the Swifties.
Yeah, when the president of the United States decided to make a joke about Taylor Swift during the
They got all upset about that. Yeah, I don't follow.
A lot of people were laughing.
I don't follow the Swifties that much. I am surprised that Travis has lasted this long. They're still cooking. I'm surprised by that.
He's in love, John.
Yeah. Well, now that she has a history of,
She has a history of kicking men to the curb.
Once she needs a new album, she'll move.
Yeah, exactly. She needs a new album.
Oh, by the way, don't ever. Swifties fans are the worst types of fans in the world. So her CD came out last year, and I've been a big. I'll just say this: I've been to my fair share of Taylor Swift concerts over. When she was younger.
You're a Swiftie, Jeff. That's what she you just beat up, around the bush. Just say you like Taylor Swift. It's all
she
right.
Grew 10
she
minutes
grew up near Jeff. So
yeah.
Evidently,
so I used to see her back when she was like 18 or 20. Yeah. But I haven't seen a Taylor Swift concert since like 2012. And I have literally thought her last album sucked. And her last three albums have not been good.
Jeff,
I wish
you
could go back.
You're a Swiftie. Stop beating around the bush.
Swiftie,
you're not
you
lie
have
to
no
me
idea what a Swiftie is. They're insane.
Yeah, well, I have one Taylor Swift story, which I told. I had no idea. So UFC was in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center. This is many years ago. I think it was Rashad Evans was in the main event. That's how it was. Tito Ortiz was still. That's how long ago it was. But
oh, wow. That's
for MMA people.
Yeah.
I believe that was the one. But you know, I'm driving to the Wells Fargo. Had no idea something else was going on. And this is before Taylor Swift took off to the degree that she has, but she was still playing Lincoln Financial Field. I had no idea. I get out of the parking lot at Wells Fargo Center and all these teenage girls are there. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's like, this is UFC. This is not where teenage girls are typically. And sure enough, she was next door. Happened to work out that way. And even though UFC cards end really late, I mean, really late. I got out of there. I couldn't get out of that parking lot for freaking 2 hours. That's how much of a circus it was.
So when she got into the Lincoln Financial Field Stratosphere, I was out. I used to like what she played at the Sovereign Center, which none
the Reading Sovereign Center?
Yes, that's what I would see. Or First Energy Stadium. That's what I would see her play.
Yeah. She's too big for that now.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah. She played at the Bryce Jordan Center when I was at Penn State then.
Hey, well, now I know from UFC, from WWE, from the Philadelphia Eagles to the Dallas Cowboys to Taylor Swift, all fan bases are toxic. They just are.
Fan is short for fanatic.
They just are. They
Jeff, I didn't know you were such a Swiftie fan. I love it, though.
She grew up 10 minutes from me. Like, I knew people who knew her, like, personally.
I hate this guy who grew up talking about the first 10 minutes down the street. You don't have to like them if they grow up 10 minutes down the street.
Yeah. Or as you know, Ross Tucker and I joke about this all the time. Grew up near us. So we like, you know, where we like her or not.
All right.
We had somebody on who told the story of when she sang at the Sixers game before she was like a star. I forget who it was, though.
Yeah, that was like 2003. So
yeah, it was like real early.
I'll give you my old Taylor Swift story. This is 1999. In Reading, she was called upon to sing the national anthem because the other person bowed out, and she said she could do it, and she did it, and she's done it multiple. I remember it was like 30 degrees. I want to say it was like 2006 or 2007. It was like opening day, and they got her to sing the national anthem, and she crushed it. And like that was the only thing we had to cheer for the entire game because one, Reading wasn't good, and two, it was cold.
That's not a good combination. But you get Taylor Swift. I was there before Taylor Swift became a global superstar.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? We never would have guessed she would have became what she became. We thought she was going to be a really good country singer, but
yeah, she was a country singer first.
That's why a lot of us liked her. That's why
Well, I appreciate production. I'll say that my cousin likes Taylor Swift. She's my older cousin, but I appreciate how big she does her show. She definitely does a good job. Jeff, I want to get to the football here. I want to talk about this game. I know there's
too much talent. We're going to lose people.
Yeah, we're really going into that.
An element to where I agree with you, where it sucks to talk about win, loss. I get it, but they got George Pickens coming in now. You know, with their tandem of their double receivers, what do you think they're able to do in this game here coming into Philly week one? Do you think George Pickens makes a big difference for the Dallas Cowboys
to win?
For the Eagles or for the Cowboys?
One or the other.
I think George Pickens makes a difference. I think he'll make a splash in that game. I'm going to feel bad for whoever is the quarterback opposite of Quinion.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. There's some uncertainty there.
Ready for it now. George Pickens, 4 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown. Kelly Ringo stinks. This guy stinks. Bench him.
Does Kelly Ringo stink? That's a real question.
You're gonna get that, by the way. If that happens, you're gonna get that, Jeff. You're gonna get that.
By the way, my other favorite thing happened these past 2 weekends.
Rookie camp?
Oh yeah. Look how good Shedeur Sanders looks throwing in shorts.
Oh, what were some of those posts? I'm a Shedeur guy. What were some of those posts? Guys, that's rage bait. I mean, and the people who rage bait are so good at it now because it's so easy. It's so easy. All you got to do is Shedeur looks good in all caps, and he's throwing a check down, and you got 14 million views.
The one thing, I have a very difficult time lying to people. So Xander asked me, "What'd you see at rookie camp?" Nothing.
Nothing.
What am I going to say?
I told John to give me one takeaway.
I
wanted one. It could have been that somebody parked crooked. I don't care. It could have been anything.
I tell people.
And he had a nothing burger for me, Jeff.
During the COVID year, true story. I could tell it now because he's gone. During the COVID year, I noticed Jim Schwartz would always park crooked. This is when I used to be able to go around the back of the NovaCare complex, go on the field from the back. So Jeff knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Now we can't do that. But I could see Jim's car every day was right next to the side side door. And it was crooked every day. And I just noticed. And I said, wow, Jim is the worst parker I've ever seen in my life. But so one day I'm going in. And this is, again, the COVID era. And his car's not there. And I noticed it because he parks crooked every day. and I noticed. And, at that point, evidently wasn't feeling well, but in those days it was made out to be a bigger, because you know, if you tested positive, you're going to miss a game or whatever. And you know, I said, where's Jim? And some of the Eagles PR people, what do you mean, where's Jim? And I go, well, he's not here, his car's not here. They're like, don't say anything, because COVID was so, you know, panicky. And sure enough, he was fine the next day, didn't test positive, and he was back with his crooked car. But yeah, so I do tell people, Sanders, to your point, if somebody parks crooked.
There you go.
But, you know, I'm not going to lie to people. And the other people saying, blah, 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 look great at rookie camp. We're out there for 15 minutes. They're not doing anything.
An individual period.
Yeah. Wait, I did have one takeaway, John, from what you said about rookie camp. All right. You said this. You said Kyle McCord handled himself like an NFL quarterback.
He does.
And I took that. That was one takeaway that I took from what you said.
You know what's it? You know how stupid the whole Shells portion of minicamp? There were actual credible people saying last year Kenny Pickett was sharper than Jalen Hurts. Think about that. And I'm like, you guys sound so stupid. You do. You go ahead.
The whole OTA minicamp section was kind of disjointed last year. Because if you remember, they were doing a bunch of Kellen Moore stuff, you know, motion, blah, blah, blah. And they were doing about, and they didn't look good.
The highlight of minicamp last year was Martin Frank stumping Jalen Hurts.
What'd he do?
Don't you remember when Martin asked him about Kellen Moore? You remember that at the end of training camp? And like Jalen, he gave Jalen like two chances to answer the question and he just couldn't answer it.
Well, you know, Jalen's not in the mood to answer something.
Yeah, Jalen doesn't answer shit.
No, but don't you remember like him saying like it's taking a while to get, I forget the whole quote.
That's one thing that bothers me with Jalen, though. He won't answer shit like that. And then he gives you a holier-than-thou attitude. And then when he goes and throws a lot of yards versus Steelers, he comes out and said, oh, is that what y'all wanted to see? Yeah. And everybody glazes.
John's still last when I was trying to do a story about how him and Barkley were training together in the offseason. Because apparently that's a big secret, even though the one side told me it. And Jalen goes to me when I ask, what'd you mean? Like, come on, Jalen.
Yeah, well, he'll put you on the spot occasionally.
Oh, he will. I should have saw it coming, and I didn't.
I've had a number of conversations back and forth that people take out of context. Like,
and I was just like, well, did you not train together? You know? Yeah. Like, and I know the answer to it.
But the only point I'm trying to make is people are bamboozling you if they're telling you, oh, certain so look great at rookie camp. First of all, half of the people who say this aren't even there. Second of all, the ones who are there saying it, you know, they're just scripting.
That's engagement form.
Yeah. Half of them aren't even there. I'm like, where's this guy?
John and I like to play that game when we see it. Where are they? There's like 10 people here.
Making these declarative statements about so-and-so look good at rookie camp. I'm like, okay, all right. But people bite it. They bite on it.
They don't know. And I don't expect them to know. Like if you're just a casual fan trying to get news, you really care where you're getting the news?
Well, you should, because if you're not getting relevant news or honest news, are you really getting news? I would argue.
You know what? I actually went after a business that they said that basically along the lines is we sold out of our product. And I said, well, yeah, you did, because you limited the amount of product you were selling, even though it was at the golf tournament this weekend. Like, you're manipulating it.
Well, that's fine.
They missed out on money because there was a.
Well, that's what I said. You're missing out on money. That'd be Xander going, oh man, we're only going to do Burns 365 for a half an hour.
That would be like me missing a Monday after a football game. That would be insanity.
Well, that's why I didn't go to the White House because it was.
Well, you're a dedicated employee.
It was Monday after the NFL draft. I'm like, I can't miss that show.
That was brutal scheduling. I know you were down there for that, Jeff, though. That was pretty cool. Jeff, ready? I want to give you an over-under on the game. Over-under 65 yards for George Pickens in week one versus the Eagles.
Let's go over. Why not?
He's gonna get 4 for 140, and everybody's gonna go, Cadley Ringo sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait because this game is gonna have bigger ramifications than you guys are giving credit to. You guys, so what? The Eagles are gonna be tough. The Cowboys fans are gonna base their Super Bowl chances on how they fare versus the Eagles in week one.
I just love the Eagles fans,
no matter what, are gonna think that we're better than everybody, and who cares whether we win or that we lose, we're still gonna get it all together. It's gonna be a perfect week one matchup for storyline.
It is a perfect week one matchup.
Do you think any Cowboys fan is brave enough to go in the Lincoln Financial Field for
week one? Yeah, they should be. What are they for internet warriors? Come on, go into Philly. Philly's fine. You're not gonna get hit unless
you're that's what I say. Nothing's gonna happen. This isn't the days of the vet where you actually did get beat.
Yeah, you're not getting anything. Most people are 99% of people are all talk.
Uh-oh. Now you're calling them soft and they're gonna
I'm not calling them soft. I'm just saying that
they hide behind their non-existent whatever profile picture
fan fighting another Philly fan than there and there is fighting a Cowboy fan.
I'll tell you what, John and I would enjoy that because we just like to watch chaos. We don't care what it is.
Yeah. I like the people always the biggest assholes on, you know, X and all, they all have their fake avatars, you know, but none of them ever put their real name or, like, you know, if you can't do that, shut up.
They're afraid their non-existent boss at their unemployed job is going to find them.
Yeah.
We're taking a lot of shots this morning.
I took a couple shots this weekend.
Hey, believe me, you know, there's going to be one guy because Xander said on May 12th, over under 65 on George Pickens. There's going to be one guy.
I love it.
There's going to be one guy if Cadley Ringo shuts him down. McMullen and Kerr said he was going to get 140. There's going to be one guy.
There always is.
I know both of you do not think Cadley Ringo fares well versus George Pickens. I know that for a fact.
They were teammates in college.
I like Cadley Ringo.
I think he's better than people think, and I know the Eagles think that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, he's been here for what, 2 years? He's going
to. But I know how this business works. Darius Slay apparently sucked until he did.
Well, yeah, I know.
Oh, Darius Slay did not suck. Come on.
I hear you.
I know what people say.
I hate Slay now because he's not here. I'm like, Jesus. Come on, man.
Yeah, there is.
If you're Dak Prescott coming into the game, though, Jeff, where are you targeting in the secondary? You're going right at Cadley Ringo and you're going right at Andrew McCuba, assuming he's the starter.
I would go right at him. If I was Dak, I'd throw 50 times at Andrew McCuba.
I'm curious to see Cooper DeJean in that game because they got the best slot receiver in football.
That doesn't affect Cooper. You know what affects Cooper?
Kay Adams.
Kay affects us all, but very nice woman. Very nice woman. Now route running, and CD's good, but I'm talking. He had one bad game. It's against Adam Thielen.
Everybody has a bad game against him.
You know, just perfect route running. You don't have to worry about that.
He's a great receiver, though, John.
He's a great receiver, but he doesn't have a problem with that. Same thing with Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is the best receiver in the world.
Well, Jamar Chase doesn't line up exclusively in the slot. He was in there for that fourth down.
Well, either a CD. He plays outside as well.
Yeah, but he's going to be in the slot a lot more.
Well, he does, but it doesn't bother. Athleticism doesn't bother. It's the technique and the refinements.
So are you predicting it's clamps in week one for Cooper DeJean?
I never say clamps because you've been doing this show how long now with me? The Eagles play so much goddamn zone. Nobody's clamping anything.
Yeah, we don't have lockdown corners. We talk about that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't clamp. They don't have lockdown. They just, they're very structured and disciplined with high football IQ. Yeah.
I just can't wait for it. I mean, you know what? I'm telling you guys, this is what I love about the Phillies, being on the Phillies beat right now. Everybody sucks.
Yeah.
Or everybody's great. Like Trey Turner sucked all year. And then I posted a stat.
Now he's great.
Yeah. No, Trey
Turner. Is he great again?
He's red hot right now.
I posted a stat. Trey Turner has been hitting 300 over his last 162 games. But apparently he sucked this whole time. They treat Phillies losses like they do Eagles losses. I try telling people, don't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Baseball. It's bad for your mental health.
We got a Peacock holiday exclusive.
What? Oh, did they announce it?
I'm trying to figure out. No, just that they're going to have exclusive games. No, they haven't.
They have one a year.
Reading the press release. Yeah,
it's the Saturday game, right? They got the
we'll
Saturday
be home. Game? NBC Universal will be home to Week 17 NFL primetime games on consecutive nights. Peacock holiday exclusive on Saturday, December 27th, and Sunday Night Football, obviously. So it's not. It's just Peacock showing off their feathers.
Oh yeah, here it is. Well, you know what? They had fun CBS story.
By the way, is CBS fighting? Can you tell us anything? They're fighting for Eagles Chiefs. Break the news.
They're fighting for Eagles Chiefs and Eagles Bills, and I know they're going to get one of them.
All right, there we go. See?
So that's all I know. I don't know. So I'm just going to say this with the Peacock game. Here's the story for you. So I think it was 2-3 years ago. I forget. The first year Peacock had the exclusive game. No one at her company had Peacock except me. So they're like, you know, you got work that night. It was I forget who the Chargers played, but the Chargers kicked the crap out of whoever they played, and I think Easton Stick was the quarterback.
Easton Stick, yeah. Carson Wentz, North Dakota State.
So they didn't announce the teams, but they got that game on Saturday, December. So I'm assuming there's going to be two NFL Network games in that on the 27th.
Boy, the NFL schedule's a pain in the ass.
Oh, it is. Oh, jeez. It's
now, and they have so many. They're going to have a game on YouTube, I think, this year.
Yeah, the Brazil game. By the way, that's Chiefs Chargers.
At what point is this diminishing returns, man? Because you're now getting pulled in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, and now you got to make everybody happy.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to, you know, if eventually it's got to steady back out to, you know, a few that win everything out. And
by the way, I got to give this guy credit. I don't know who it is. I have a good feeling he knows the schedule or has it. But there's this Twitter account. Called Aussie NFL. Everybody's been shitting on the guy for a while now. He's 3-for-3.
Well, Aussie NFL.
Don't bring him up to John. You better keep the same energy with Jeff Kerr. He ripped people at the start of the show. He said, I don't want to hear one schedule leak in my
DMs. I don't give a shit. I'm not paying it. If it doesn't come from the NFL, I don't want to hear about it. All these guys speculating, and sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. Hey, there's all these weirdos that have people that work for the Eagles, and they might get a glimpse of the schedule. Good for them. I don't care.
I got it early last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll get
it. Get it early. I usually get it, you know.
You know, I literally tell the powers that be in the NFL, guys, I have to type the entire schedule.
I
need it.
Yeah.
I need it for my job. I ain't going to go on Twitter and brag about who they're playing. I don't care.
Yeah, you get it about 4 or 5 hours, usually.
All I ask them. Like, just give it to me Wednesday morning. I'll do it.
They always release the opener early, right? Like, even last year when they released
the kickoff game's always released on the today.
Yeah, on the Monday, right, or whatever it is of the week.
Well, I can give you that. Let me pull that up real quick. There's a whole schedule for the schedule for the NFL. Yeah.
Fox is announcing a game today too.
Hey, listen, I'm a show host. I appreciate the way the NFL does it because they figure out something to give us each week. There's a couple weeks of the year.
I'm just gonna tell you guys this. I'm not a rocket scientist here, but Netflix is making an announcement Wednesday. I guarantee you it's their Christmas games because that's the only games they have.
Yeah. Right. Breaking news, Jeff Kerr. Well done. Jeff's right. Fox is going to announce something today. Prime Video is going to announce something today.
I bet Prime Video announces their first Thursday night game this year.
ESPN is Tuesday on Good Morning America. They're going to announce something.
That'll be Monday Night Football Week 1. Guarantee
Jeff Kerr's CBS is going to be Wednesday on CBS Mornings announcing the Eagles Chiefs. We can break that. No, I'm joking.
I'll let Earlson do it.
And Netflix on Wednesday as well, plus the NFL Network on Good Morning Football is going to announce all the international games on Tuesday.
By the way, if you're an Eagles fan, don't pay attention to that because you're not playing an international game this year.
Yeah.
100% book it.
That's good news.
Madrid-Spain game.
How many 1 o'clock games you guys think we're getting? 4?
No.
They're going to have to get a couple.
Yeah, a couple.
Well, now the Bears might be destined for one. I still say the Bears are going to be Thursday night football.
Wait, you guys think less than 4? 4 out of 17? That's a pretty low number, no?
They're big ticket.
They're big, yeah.
Man, we're going to be 4:30. Well,
it's going to be a bunch of 4 o'clock games, you're going to get 6 primetime games.
I wonder if Fox will do with the Eagles like CBS did with the Chiefs last year. And CBS execs told me this. They purposely made sure they got as many Chiefs games as they could. And I think they ended up getting 9.
Yeah. Chiefs are dying.
Is this the year the Chiefs come back to earth and they don't go as far?
I think so.
I think so too.
Okay, so let's play this game. Who goes in their place?
I think the Bills are positioned nicely. I think the Ravens
But can they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? That's
a good question. I wonder if the Chiefs are going to go. You guys remember, obviously, Brady, they dominated for the better part of 20 years, but there was a 10-year window where they kind of had to regroup their team. I'm not saying the Chiefs are at that level, but I do wonder if they're going to need a couple years to kind of rebuild.
Well, I pick the Ravens every year, so one of these years they're going to break through.
I got really upset as a big Lamar Jackson fan. This whole stupid Twitter debate, who's better, Jalen or Lamar? I don't care, but you gotta hear Ravens fans. If you put Lamar on the Eagles, he'd win the Super Bowl. I said, no, he wouldn't. I've seen Lamar in the playoffs. He just doesn't do what he does in the regular season.
No, this is what bothers me about this whole conversation.
And it's not like the Ravens aren't talented.
One thing is you can never isolate, obviously, the quarterback because they play with the team. So it's impossible to isolate. Yep. If you're talking about isolated, I think anybody with a brain could admit that Lamar Jackson is a more talented player than Jalen. He's one of the most talented guys to ever grace any sport, for crying
out
loud.
Lamar Jackson,
he's that good.
He should have beat the Bills last year. Mark Andrews dropped the pass and Lamar fumbled. You know,
but this is what bothers me about the discourse on Hurts. People take away from Hurts because he has a good team, but he won. Like,
if you have a good team
and you win with it, why do you get knocked for that when Josh Allen and Lamar can't win and people say, well, he doesn't have as good of a team? Well, yeah, he didn't win.
I'll tell you, Xander,
he did have the team and they did win, I wouldn't take away from that for them. But people take away from Jalen Hurts because he's got a good supporting cast.
My argument, because I certainly don't do that. In fact, I pointed out, there's never been there's never been a Super Bowl winning quarterback that ever won with a shitty team. Never. Not once. Doesn't work that way.
Well, you know what the comeback is for a lot of these Hurts haters? Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did. And he won it with a really good team.
Yeah, probably the greatest defensive ball. By the way, I'm telling you, Xander, it never used to be like this when Troy Aikman was winning him as a game manager. The game manager was really good in the playoffs. And in Super Bowls.
Troy Aikman's in the Hall of Fame, so I'll take all freaking day.
No, don't worry, Eagles fans. Jalen Hurts, Lamar, Josh Allen, you'll see them all in Cooperstown. Don't worry about it.
They will be. And the Lamar playoff thing, that was legit early in his career. The past couple of years, he's played some really freaking good playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, you know where he gets ripped, though, that AFC Championship game I covered. And again, not all his fault, but he wasn't Superman.
No. Well,
and that's where they get on.
Yeah. I mean, it's broken. I say it all the time. Quarterback evaluation is broken. It's not Jalen's fault. He's on a good team. Nobody's winning a Super Bowl who isn't on a good team. Period. End of sentence. Nobody ever has.
John McMullen has the best comeback for all of this. As long as you're in the conversation, does it matter?
Well, yeah, I believe that too.
But I hear you.
Jalen's in the conversation, top five quarterback, where we think he is or not. People consider it.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. Not in the conversation to be number one. I will say that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not an insult. It's not, you know, as everyone wants to paint it out to be, as disrespect. Everybody's so disrespectful of the Eagles quarterback when he's on Time Magazine at the 100 most influential people in the world.
Yeah. An icon.
Yeah. It's the opposite of disrespect. Everybody who's not gripped in knows how good of a player he is. But you can also say there are a few, and a very few, small amount to Jeff's point, but there are a few that are better, and it's not disrespect.
Yeah, the best quarterbacks since I've been covering the NFL I've seen live. Lamar, Josh Allen, Mahomes. They're the three.
I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in football right now.
Oh, Josh Allen's a stud. Like, he's so fun to watch.
And by the way, nobody's perfect. I would put Josh Allen ahead of Jalen Hurts. But I also point out, guess what? At times, he's too reckless. He needs to improve on things as well. Nobody's perfect.
You know, I always say this. The tush-push merchant, Jalen Hurts, he would have gotten that fourth down in the AFC Championship game. And that's what was so shocking about that game. When I'm watching that in the Eagles press box, I'm like, Josh Allen, how do you not get that? Well, you get it all the time.
He did get it.
Well, yeah, he did get it on second watch.
That's another thing.
He got it on second watch, but yes.
They blew the call. He did get it.
Yeah. But I'm just saying how I describe it in real time. I'm like, how did you not get that? And then he did get it. I'm like,
He did get it. So.
Oh, by the way, I'm asked this a lot because I knew the NFL got rid of a couple officials this year. You think it's because they blow a lot of calls in favor of the Chiefs? I'm like, no, it really has nothing to do with the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't blame the officials for it. I'm not a conspiracy guy.
I'm not.
They miss calls all the time, but they always miss calls. They're trying to get it right.
They're human. They're not perfect.
Yeah, and that's the case. That's a joke. It's like, you know, that's in the record book, right? Josh Allen did not get the tush push. It was twice. He did get it.
He did get it.
They blew the call. It was a bad spot. He did get it.
And now the Bills want to get rid of it.
The league is. But we're going to talk about this next week because the league is going to get rid of it. But they're going to remove pushing from the game, which is
2005 rules. Yeah. By the way, Eagles fans, take it as a badge of honor.
Yeah. By the way,
the team you root for created an unstoppable play that the league had to interfere to get rid of.
Like next week?
May 20th to 21st.
It'll be next week. And I can't wait for John's first question. Nick, what do you think about the twist push getting banned?
Oh, I'm not asking him that question because I don't give a two shits about it. They're going to be the best quarterback sneak team in football without it.
They were actually more efficient before that.
So to your point of being an unstoppable play, that's bullshit. It was actually a bunch of people stopped it. Not a lot, but a bunch of people stopped it. Jacksonville stopped it. A couple other teams stopped it.
John, why are you so confident that they're going to be the best sneak team in football?
Because they were before.
Yeah, but that's a different time.
No, Jalen. They did it with Jalen.
Yeah. They did. They were.
I can't wait until Jalen.
Right now, what year are you guys talking about?
when he took over as a starter. So 2021. They're the best quarterback team in football.
So you're just assuming they're going to be the best team in 2025 because they were in 2021 or what?
Yes.
Well, because the quarterback can squat 600 pounds and Landon Dickerson's still there.
Jordan Mulata, different player.
I mean, they're a different player. It's a different team, but I got you.
Jordan Mulata, I'm just asking way for better in 25 than he is in 21.
No, Jalen Hurts doesn't even need the bucket. I've been saying it for years. Doesn't need it. At times now, because teams have become so ultra-focused on it because of all the bullshit, it is more difficult with the tush push than if they spread them out. I've said this numerous times. What I would do, Nick Sirianni, if you're listening, spread them out and let Jalen pick the bubble, and you're going to convert it damn near 100% of the time. And when you don't convert it, it's going to be because of a penalty. Not because you didn't get it. Somebody's going to jump early. They were literally, and Jeff knows, Jeff's Mr. Statistic. He knows the stats better than me. You can go back to Carson Wentz. They were the best quarterback team in football.
Super Bowl season.
Yeah. Perfect. I remember you guys giving the stats on Wentz, too. And
I'm telling you, what is this league going to do if Jalen runs for 20 touchdowns next year because of that quarterback season?
Well, I think it may be a little bit more difficult. It will make it a little bit more difficult near the goal line.
Yeah, I agree.
But not in field. Not in field. Yeah.
They'll have a plan in place.
They have Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert. Like they should be able to figure something out at the goal line.
Yeah.
So when Jalen throws for like 40 touchdowns, is he a real quarterback now?
He's not gonna throw.
He'll never do that. No. If he does do that, that's gonna be awesome. But
yeah, it's not gonna be good. If he does, because that means you're behind a lot, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
but it's not going
to
happen.
Don't tell that to Bengals fans.
It's not going to happen.
It's better to be behind and come back than to dominate. I've heard that one too.
No, it isn't.
I said, I'm like, are you guys like, what are you like drinking that you say this?
Yeah. I mean, one of the, and Jeff can speak this out. Now, last year was a little bit different. Because you had Baltimore and the Eagles having historic running games. You know, both I think the Eagles were sixth all time, so the Ravens were ahead of the Eagles, so they were top six as well.
It's funny. I was secretly hoping Derrick Henry would pass Saquon.
Because
I wanted the backlash.
The fans would have went nuts. But
the fans would have went nuts. I think a couple other people would have went nuts that are kind of important to this rushing record.
I hear it every year. One of my pet peeves. All the good teams run the football a lot. And like they discover this every year.
You mean when they're winning at halftime, they run the football a lot?
Yes. And generally, when you win a lot, you're ahead late. So what do? You close out the game. You run the football. The classic correlation causation. Yes, good teams run the football more than bad teams.
I've never gotten so much hate on Twitter when they did the run the ball chant in 23. And I'm like, no. One, they're losing. Two, the running back can't do what you want him to do. How dare you talk DeAndre Swift like that? He's a 1,000-yard rusher. I'm like, he stinks. He stinks.
Well, I'm wondering, I'm looking at this thing.
Miles Sanders ran for 1,000 yards. John will tell you.
Well, he just brought this up with Lamar versus Jalen.
Pro ball running back. Pro ball running back.
But, I didn't realize – Derrick Henry had 80 less yards than Saquon Barkley last year. Zay Flowers had the same amount of receiving yards as AJ Brown last year. Like they had a pretty similar.
Well, AJ missed a couple games too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think Zay.
Oh, the Ravens running game was freaking unbelievable.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But that's where I think Jalen gets a little bit unfairly docked for having a good team. Like, if you have a good team, that's fine. You can say that.
Well, here's what I would say.
Like, Lamar's team is good enough to win.
Here's what I would say about the people who unfairly dock, however you want to describe it, Jalen Hurts, because he has a good team. They're idiots, so turn the page. Lamar has a good team.
Ignore them.
John Patrick has a good team.
John fan discourse wouldn't exist if it was that
simple. Well, it is that simple from a personal level. If it bothers you,
have fun and being fans, you know.
That's it legitimately bothers some people.
You know how you want to have fun, Sandra? Talk to them like real people instead of behind a computer screen.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I love the fans, but I mean, in the offseason in May, if you think they're not going to have these conversations, you're just out of play. I mean, they're gonna whether we like it or not, doesn't matter.
I mean, I find it entertaining because I like chaos. So
I find it entertaining too. I've never had an issue with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking to the people that have that legitimately get angry about it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense on
nothing
the
about
level.
Football gets me angry. It's inconsequential.
I'll tell you what, I give the Eagles fans a ton of credit, but someone said they want thing. Jalen does better than Lamar, and someone posted a picture of him hosting the Vince Lombardi Trophy. I'm like, oh, you knew that was coming.
Yeah, well,
that's it. You know, yeah, this, you know, but that's one of the things I hate about quarterback discourse, and I hate that. I legitimately hate it. You're right, football's inconsequential, but I hate discourse over quarterbacks because it all boils down. Well, he won the Super Bowl. Like, there's not, you know, 46, 45 other guys trying to win it with them. And this is anybody. This is from Jalen Hurts to Patrick Mahomes to you know, the best example of it all is Eli Manning, because the front four dominated both of their upset wins.
It's the whole adage. It's the most important position in football.
How many times,
I hear what you're saying. The problem with it is that there, because the game is the way the game is, there's only the most pragmatic, non-emotional person would view it like you. And like Jeff said, there's fans. Fans are by nature fanatics. They're emotional. So there's never going to be an evaluation of quarterbacks that's 100% objective, like you're talking about. It's a game.
Well, no, I get that, but it is, you know, there is one. There's so many cliches in football. One of them, Nick Sirianni says all the time, is, you know, biggest team sport, whatever. You know, it is the ultimate team sport, he says constantly.
Well, it is. Football is definitely.
It is compared to the other sports. Now, one of the others is football's the most, you hear how we say it all the time. He said it last time I talked to him, is football's the most, quarterback's the most important position in professional sports. I would argue there is one more important position on a particular day, and Jeff will agree with me, I think, on this.
Is it baseball?
Starting pitcher.
Yep,
on
absolutely,
a particular
absolutely.
Day. But, you know, Even in the old days where guys would throw complete games and things like that, nobody ever had a problem pointing out that, well, Kirk Gibson hit a home run, or, you know, so-and-so hit a home run, or, you know, somebody made a great play at third base. Even though if you don't have that pitcher shutting down the other team, Justin Verlander being the most notable in recent years of being so dominant in the playoffs, nobody has a problem pointing out. You know,
this is the perfect example of the spotlight, though, a starting pitcher will get. Aaron Nola. The Phillies have scored 13 total runs in 8 games Aaron Nola has pitched when he's pitching. But Aaron Nola sucks. You know,
you're right. I mean, pitchers, yeah, you're right. When somebody's not getting.
When they're not getting it. They don't
like John. There's one other position I'd put in your equation. Now, you won't like it because you're not a hockey guy, but I think
the goalie.
I mean,
the goalie can go win you a game. I recognize that, but you know, in the other sports, it seems to me nobody has a problem also talking about the guys who help the pitcher or the goalie,
right?
In football, like, everybody's like, Josh Sweat doesn't exist. Milton Williams doesn't exist. The defense that didn't let Patrick Mahomes pass the 50-yard line.
It's weird. I write an article about Milton Williams. No one cares. It's weird.
It's bizarre to me. It is bizarre to me that people can't open up their minds to that, at least to that degree. I get the fanaticism standpoint. But like I said, the best example, I can say Myles Garrett is better than Josh Sweat, and everybody goes, Yeah. Well, of course. Why would you even say that? Well, then why is quarterback different?
Good point. It's a good point. It's good context. I agree.
Yeah. We're just in this age. And again, it's nobody's fault. It's just you got to go with what clicks. You do. It sucks. Yeah,
not here. Jeff, great show today. All right, I'm going to make you do one thing on the way out here.
I apologize. We kept you long, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to the Phillies game at one. So here we go, though, Jeff.
All right, you're not going to be here for our legendary John's favorite show of the year.
The schedule release.
The schedule win-loss. But we got one game, Jeff, and you got to tell me whether it's a win or it's a loss. Eagles-Cowboys, September 4th, the Thursday night opener. Who wins the game, Jeff?
I'm going to go by the historical trend. Teams are 15-5 in the NFL kickoff.
Yeah, 15-5.
Super Bowl champions.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, win.
All right.
Now, I'm not a mathematician, but if you expand that to the whole season, the Eagles will go 17-0.
That is correct. They would be on 17-0. By the way, one of my favorite tweets of the year is like when someone hits two home runs on opening day, and I'm like, oh, so-and-so.
Yeah, well, I said that about Aaron Judge. Yeah, he was on a pace for 160 at one point.
Yeah, Kyle Schwarber and Aaron Judge are on pace for 57 right now. It's a pretty good year.
It's a pretty good year, yeah.
All right,
John, before I go, John, I broke the best news to John McMullen yesterday.
Aaron Judge hitting 400?
No, even better than that, the NFL uniform change. Your other favorite. I saw John quote tweet that. I'm like, got him. Hook, line, and sinker.
Our long nightmare is over. Yeah. Thanks, NFL.
What is that rule now? It's like they can wear whatever helmet or something?
They can wear their alternate helmets with their primary jerseys, which I thought you could do before, and apparently you couldn't. So now you can wear the black helmet with the green jersey.
When Jeff doesn't even know the uniform rules, you know, they're arcane to say the least.
Yeah, like I thought, you know what? It's funny. Everybody went to the Eagles example. I actually thought the Panthers wore their black helmets with one of their uniform sets, and they're like, no, they didn't. They did not wear that with their black. I'm like, okay, then I stay corrected.
Black Eagles helmets. Everybody loves them. I feel like it's such a like a. It's like the cars, you know. Everybody buys a car that has the black trim now. It's like I got a car for road trip. I like a little bit, but all good. Jeff, we got to run, brother. We got a couple minutes left. I got some super chats to hit. We appreciate you doing it as always, my man. We'll catch up with you again next week. Enjoy the great schedule release this week, and then you're doing a great job covering Phillies as well. Thank you, Jeff.
It's my Christmas, boys. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
There's Jeff Kerr here from CBS Sports. Make sure you guys follow him at Jeff Kerr CBS. Does a great job. We appreciate him and the time, the extra time he gave us here today on Birds 365.
Just keep going with Jeff. Yeah. Just keep.
Yeah. Yeah. I love talking to Jeff. I think he enjoys doing it with us on a